Brunn had developed a habit of stopping by Esme's quarters every day or so for what she termed a friendly chat. Esme did her best to be polite, though she resented the time it cost her, and even more the fact that Brunn seemed to consider herself qualified to comment on everything in Esme's life.
Your hair. Have you ever considered having it rerouted?
Esme's hair had been an issue since childhood. Before she could stop herself, she had run a hand over it, trying to smooth it down.
No.
Brunn cocked her own gold head to one side.
It would probably help. You've got quite nice bones.
I have quite a nice lot of work to do, too, if you don't mind.
Esme was not sure which was worse, the insults or the casual way Brunn slouched out, apparently not the least offended. One evening, Brunn arrived with Baron, who made some excuse and left, casting a lingering glance that Esme wished she knew how to interpret. Brunn settled herself on Esme's bunk as if she owned it.
He's nice.
More than nice.
Esme tried unsuccessfully not to resent Brunn's proprietary tone. Just what had Baron and Brunn been doing?
Handsome, courteous, clever. Too bad he's only an ensign. If he were your rank, he'd be perfect for you. You could fall for him.
Esme was uneasily aware that her ears felt warm.
I don't want to fall for anyone in that sense. We're colleagues.
Is Altiplano one of those places where no one can talk about sex?
One can. Polite people, however, do not.
Sorry, but it must make it hard to talk about people and to people. I mean, how do you indicate preference?
I had none. I left my homeworld quite young.
That wasn't much better, but she couldn't think of anything that would help. Brunn buffed her fingernails on her vest and examined them critically.
So when you met attractive men or women, you had only instinct to help you? And they say the men are the inarticulate ones.
That's rude.
Is it? If it seems so to you, I'm sorry I didn't intend it that way. We don't have the same rules, you see.
You must have some.
Well, it would be rude to discuss the grittier bits with someone who is not a friend. Or while eating.
Despite herself, Esme wondered what Brunn might mean by grittier bits.
And it would be rude to comment on someone's genetic makeup as revealed in their... I'm not sure what term wouldn't offend you. Body parts? Equipment?
Genetic makeup?
Whether they're a registered embryo or not. And what the code is.
You mean that's visible?
Of course. There's the registration mark and the code number. How else are you going to be sure... Oh, you don't do that.
Well, I certainly don't have any registration marks or numbers on me.
The thought made Esme's skin twitch, but curiosity was a worse torment.
Where?
Lower left abdomen. Want to see?
No.
I didn't mean that. Surely you have... I mean, you're older than I am.
What I do is none of your business, and I plan to keep it that way.
Brunn opened her mouth and shut it again, then gave a little shrug that irritated Esme as much as anything she might have said. She fished in one of her pockets and brought up a tangle of wire with a few plastic beads on it.
Here. You know what this is?
Haven't a clue.
According to Ty, it's a good luck charm. I thought it was a chunk of obsolete electronics.
Esme gave the little object a better look, then grinned.
What?
Well, it's a good luck charm only under certain circumstances. That is, this is a sort of thing they gave us when we started the senior scan course. You were supposed to hang it up. Did Ty mention that?
Yes, above my desk, from the lamp bracket.
What it is, underneath the distractions of bent wire and pretty beads, is a scan device. Along about week 6, if you were doing your work, you would suddenly realize it had been transmitting everything you did and said, and you'd look up, everyone did, and that picture of your sudden revelation went into the class scrapbook. The earlier, the better luck. They calculate the mean, and if you beat the mean, you got extra points, depending on how early you were.
You mean it... spying on me?
Well, you knew you were under surveillance.
I hate it!
Brunn flung herself down, in a gesture that reminded Esme of a child's petulant flounce.
So, you agreed?
I agreed to have the stupid bodyguards around, not to have them putting illicit scan devices in my room. Damn them!
Esme felt much older than this spoiled girl.
They're doing their job, and you're not making it easier.
Why should I?
Grow up!
It wasn't what she'd meant to say, but she had been thinking it, and she couldn't hold it back any longer. To her surprise, Brunn whitened, as if Esme had hit her.
I'm very sorry to have bothered you.
She was up and out the door before Esme could say anything. Esme stared at the shut door a long moment. Should she apologize? Altiplano Manners, demanding apology for almost everything, quarreled with Serrano advice not to apologize too much. She wished she could talk to Baron about it, but she had to finish the calculations for a project in support planning. She forced herself to concentrate on the work, with the consoling thought that perhaps Brunn would no longer want to be on her team. But that hope disappeared when the study team assignments came out. Brunn had managed, by whatever means the daughter of the Speaker of the Grand Council could use, to get herself assigned to Esme's team in the Escape and Evasion course. Esme told herself that was unfair. It might not have taken any deviousness at all. Perhaps she'd just asked, and they'd given. Brunn's demeanor gave no clue. She gave her usual impression of complete unconcern.
Your problem today is to assess the security problem associated with moving a high-risk individual from this room to the shuttle port, which is here.
A map graphic came up on the screen.
You have available the materials in the box on your table. You are briefing the head of the security detail in 45 minutes. Go.
The first thing to do, the class rules declared, was to open the envelope in the box and find out who was commanding this exercise. To Esme's relief, it was neither Brunn nor herself. Lieutenant Marden, who had, though hastily, at least read the first assignment, seemed to have a basic grasp of the topic so far, as he handed out the materials to Esme, Brunn, and Varricourt. They all set to work, and their presentation won a passing grade, though not a high one. Brunn's failure to recognize a potential threat dropped their score, and Ulyss was unforgiving.
The point of working as a team is for all of you to combine skills and knowledge, not to hide in your own narrow area of responsibility. Any of the rest of you could have noticed that Ms. Meager had ignored the possibility of an aerial attack on the motor route, and should have.
Esme felt the sting of that. She had wondered why Brunn didn't mention it. And she had said nothing, since she was trying to arrange the resources she supposedly had, none of which included anything she knew could take out air cars. But Ulyss's greatest scorn fell on Lieutenant Marden as their commander. By the time he was through, Esme was afraid Marden would be in shreds on the floor. As it was, he disappeared rapidly after the lab and showed up again only at dinner.